And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast here tonight to cover the Rowdies like we usually do. Carlos, that's what we're here for, even though we are in the offseason. During this offseason week, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I still don't know how to unmute myself after I've managed to do that for literally 3 years since Zoom. It is a warm 29 degrees up here in sunny Washington, D.C. And I'm freezing my butt off. I don't really have a winter jacket because I've never really needed that. But I had to invest in one. It's doing the job, right? We're surviving. But yeah, things are going well on this late Tuesday night here. Just had one of my final presentations. Semester starting to wrap up here. I'm excited to go back home for a while for winter. And what else? Exactly 1 month ago today, James, Liga de Quito won La Copa Sudamericana. So we're celebrating 1 month anniversary of that title today. And yeah, also side note, they also managed to pull off a crazy run of form after that title and win like six games in a row to clinch a spot in the final in Ecuador, which is just an insane run because Ecuadorian league is so competitive. So they've locked in a spot in the final as well. So things are going well for them in the soccer world. I'm really, really excited. Actually, I'm trying to get over there for that final right after the semester is over. So things are exciting. It's a fun time wrapping up academics, trying to get over to Ecuador for that final game of the championship. And yeah, other than that, just freezing, James. That's about it. What's going on down there?
It is not anywhere near as cold as 29 degrees. I will say that my computer next to me says 52. I think that covers the whole area, so it might not be specifically what's out my door. But it is definitely colder than usual, even if it is not Washington, D.C. levels. Yeah, sure. I would say it's been nice out. I don't know how many people listening will agree with me. I know my wife will not, but I will take the nice temperatures that we have down here, at least during this post-Thanksgiving week. So, yeah. Carlos, we do still have to talk about the Rowdies, though, as much as we would like to talk about the differences between the weather and LDU Quito. But, we need to talk this week about the goalkeepers and attackers to finish our player reviews for the season that was 2023. Absolutely. So, yeah, we will start to look forward after this one and do other off-season coverage as it comes up from now until probably March is when I assume we will have actual stuff to talk about with, like, the team. And, you know, we will have certain players announced over the course of the off-season, naturally. But I don't think that we will have a ton more of new stuff, at least until we actually get into the new year. So this will be our final review. And like we've said before, if you do have anything that you'd like us to review, whether that's from this past season or from Rowdy's past seasons or anything else, let us know on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, wherever. To get to that, like and subscribe to us on YouTube and any major podcast platform. And of course, follow RBLR Sports on social media like Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, trying to combine those apparently, Blue Sky, Threads, whatever. I know that Eureka is working on all of those. So we are at RBLR Sports. Carlos, let us jump into it. And today, like I said, we're doing the goalkeepers and the attackers. You can do the three goalkeepers here, and then we'll break it down a little bit more than just what their seasons were, because that will be a very quick segment if that's all we do.
Absolutely. And I'm excited to get through these as well, James, because then we can finally start to look at things like our wish list, kind of looking forward to next year. This is kind of around the part of the year when we start to wrap up, looking back, and start to almost get to the part where we look forward the next year. So we're getting to that point in the year, James. We're in that middle area. I'm excited for those upcoming episodes as well. But yeah, as you mentioned, let's just jump into reviewing the players that are left to review for this year, the goalies and the attackers. We'll start with the goalies. Three goalies played for the Rowdies this year and made appearances. Well, three were on the Rowdies roster. The first one was number one, Connor Sparrow. He is 29, turning 30 in May. He played in 31 USL games, 31 starts, even had an assist for us, which is pretty rare to do and difficult to do as a goalie in the sport, obviously. He had 10 clean sheets, 11 if you count the Open Cup game, and conceded 35 goals, 36, including the goal against Houston in the Open Cup. Also received 3 Man of the Match awards, so obviously had a pretty good season. Couldn't complain too much about what he brought to the lineup and to the roster as a whole. Contributed where he had to and played his role, James.
Yeah, I think that with Connor Sparrow, the only big thing, obviously, we don't know what his contract situation is, and we're hoping that it will be one where he comes back, because I think that, you know, he was a very good contributor, as you have already said, Carlos. I think he's one of the better ones that we've had, one of the better goalkeepers that we've had in a, you know, in a long list of pretty good goalkeepers. Evan Lauro obviously was very, very good. I think Phil Breno stepped in even as a very good substitute. Reiko Rosarena had his ups and downs, I will say, but yeah, he was just, I think, you know, kind of a solid presence that we didn't have to worry about is the best way that I can point to it. And I think that it'll be best to compare how we felt about all of these guys, but at some point once we're through them. But yeah, Connor Sparrow was the one that I think, even when, you know, people in front of him weren't playing well, you could expect that he would make, you know, one or two pretty good saves to keep us in a game. But for also sure. I think that he will be, it's just kind of a comfort blanket at the back. I would say that he is somebody that we just never really had to worry about, other than the couple injured games that he missed at the very beginning of the season, because obviously he literally wasn't there. He was a comfort blanket for the rest of the year up until the playoff that we unfortunately did not go through on. I wanted to speak with him after that game, and, you know, they asked me, why would you want to speak to a goalkeeper who gave up 3 goals? And none of them were his fault, was the thing. Not one of those goals was his fault. So yeah, I can't say anything more than that for Connor Sparrow, at least.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you mentioned one of the other names that debuted, but he certainly played for the Rowdies, debuted with us last year. A surprise return, I think, at one point going into this year, James, was Phil Breno, number 15, 27 years old, turning 28. Played in 4 games, started 4 games, conceded 7 goals, covered when Sparrow was injured, especially in that, I think, earlier part of the year, James. We mentioned several games where Breno was starting, and it was because Sparrow had picked up some sort of injury in the preseason and was kind of recovering from that. Again, did his role where he had to. If you recall, Breno was one of the players that came in on loan last year. In that kind of weird loan swap with forward Madison for Reiko Rosarena. And yeah, he ended up playing when he had to again last year. And if you recall that big penalty save against Memphis in the playoffs, he definitely stepped up where he had to back then. And again, I think was able to do that this season in his short time with us, small amount of appearances with us. I think he very quickly gained the fans' trust and love after that penalty save last year. So unsurprising to see him return after that. Still TBD on what his situation will be for next year, right? So to that point, don't really have a goalie on our roster yet for next year. But again, it's very early, late November at this point in the year. Not much else to say there. Just a guy that was consistent-ish when we had to play him, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that Phil Breno was another one who at the back we didn't really have to worry about when he was out there. As you said, he was someone who really gained all the fans' admiration when he saved that penalty. And afterwards, we learned that there was a situation with, you know, a family member having passed, and he was feeling emotional about that and everything. So I don't remember all the details of that specifically, but I just know that, you know, afterwards, everyone was like, oh my God, Phil Breno, he's the guy. So yeah, I think that he might not be on the same level as Connor Sparrow, but Connor Sparrow is a pretty high level goalkeeper, I will say. Having Phil Breno as a backup goalkeeper, if he's willing to continue to stay in that backup role, that's great. You need a starting goalkeeper who's going to keep you in games. That's obviously true everywhere, in this sport, from the highest level to the lowest level. I mean, hell, there are teams that, you know, came back in the Champions League today because their goalkeeper made a great save or something to allow them to do that. So if you have the good starting goalkeeper, that's great. But unfortunately, a lot of teams do not have a backup plan if that goalkeeper goes down that is similar in terms of the level. You can't have two, you know, starting level goalkeepers. I mean, that's just down to basic salary pretty much. You can't have two players who are making this much money, whatever that amount is, that's like you should be the starter, and then, you know, you switch off back and forth. I don't know of any team that's ever done that in soccer, at least. I think it happens more in hockey maybe, but yeah, not in soccer. So you need a good backup, and Phil Breno is a more than good backup. I think that we've seen him do extremely well coming into a game in a high pressure situation. So yeah, I am very happy that Phil Breno was the backup for this past season. And we didn't actually see him come off the bench, I don't think. I think that he only started those games that Sparrow was out until he came in and we gave him a start immediately in a U.S. Open Cup game when he returned from injury, and then Phil Breno didn't see the field again. But having him there as the backup was always good. And if he is, like I said, if he is willing to take on that role, I would be super happy to see him do it again next year. Oh. But as you said, we just have to see if there's going to be an announcement related to Connor Sparrow, Phil Breno. And I think the other one was Jan Ecker that the team said they were still in discussions with. I don't remember offhand, but I believe it was those three. So if we could get all three of those back, actually, I wouldn't be too upset about it.
Totally. Yeah, like you said, I think you summed it up well in saying that he was just a solid backup keeper, and basically kind of helps calm any worries that would arise if Connor Sparrow did hypothetically pick up some sort of knock, like it happened earlier on in the year. So, yeah, all in all, good season for Phil Breno, we can say, in his role as the backup keeper. But one more backup keeper on the roster, James, to mention. You mentioned his name earlier as well. It was number 56, Raikel Rosarena. Who, by all accounts, we can assume was the third-string goalie this year. He appeared in a total of zero games, but we were very proud of him in his time playing for the Cuban national team. Yeah, he actually made a couple of big saves that ended up going viral across Twitter, penalty stops, et cetera, in the Nations League for Cuba. Yeah, earned several Man of the Match awards in those games. So good for him. I think it very much raised his kind of stock in the market. And we know that he's not coming back next year. And I hope those games with Cuba were able to kind of, again, open him up to new opportunities in various clubs in different parts of the world. Who knows where he ends up. But he's certainly a talented goalie that I just don't think was able to find his footing with the Rowdies, obviously, in a time where, you know, well, not in a time. We've just always had very, very consistently good goalies. And, I don't think he was able to – I really had a chance to break through as a starter for us. So who knows where he will end up. Can't really say anything about his performance for us this year because he didn't really have to play. But all in all, happy that he had some good appearances for Cuba and hopefully ends up in a good spot. Where he can grow as a player and continue to grow his stock as a goalie.
Yeah, as you said, I think that he is a very good, you know, potential goalkeeper. He is, as I have noted before, supremely confident, but he unfortunately never really just got it going with the Rowdies. I think that if we look back to the season when Evan Lauro was the starter and he came in and he was the goalkeeper in the final because Evan Lauro injured himself before we could get to the final. Unfortunately, he gave up three goals in that game as well. I will maintain to this day that I really don't think those were his fault, but, you know, so it goes. 2022, that was a more difficult season for Raikel. I remember at the beginning of the year, they were going back and forth between starters to see who would nail down the job, and it really didn't pan out for him then. I know that he had a couple of mistakes and a couple of instances where Neil Collins just stated to the press room afterwards that he didn't think Raikou Rosarena played well enough and he needed to step up more. So, you know, that was obviously unfortunate. But at the same time, there was always a very good goalkeeper in there. I think he might be a little bit better on the distribution side than the shot-stopping side. But as I'm sure everyone knows, you know, there are multiple teams in the world that kind of will just be okay with that. There are a lot of teams that are just moving towards having distribution-based goalkeepers as opposed to having goalkeepers that are the absolute best at shot, you know, shot stoppers. So hopefully he can combine both of them, obviously, and become a very good goalkeeper in, you know, in both arenas that will allow him to actually get a starting position somewhere. I do think he is deserving of that. I will say, going through his games here, he played several for Cuba this year. And he actually got 4 shutouts, Cuba in a 1-0 win against Guadeloupe, in a 0-0 draw against Haiti, which is pretty good there. 1-0 win against Suriname, that's very impressive. A 0-0 draw against Honduras in the Nations League, that's kind of crazy. that's a little nuts that Cuba could draw 0-0 with Honduras. So very good stuff from Raikou Rosarena there. Unfortunately, when they went away to play in Honduras, they lost 4-0, and then they had a friendly in November. Yeah, earlier in November, so actually just last week, against Russia. That was an 8-0 loss, and I will say, whether or not Raikou Rosarena was starting in net, it was always going to be probably somewhere close to that. Russia's just a far better team, and we're not seeing them play every international break because of the sanctions against their national team and the federation because of, you know, the actions of the country as a whole. So unfortunate for Raikou Rosarena that that's actually the last game that he played in 2023. I will say, though, it is not reflective of him as a goalkeeper. He did very well, as far as I'm aware, on his time during his time on loan at Forward Madison. So hopefully, you know, if they need a goalkeeper, they will look to him, or maybe someone that they played against will look to Raikou Rosarena. There are plenty of new teams coming online as well for this upcoming year. I don't remember all of which teams will actually start in 2024, but the point is there are tons of places that he can play, and I really hope to see him around the league.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's something I mentioned a couple episodes ago as well, was that the Ford Madison fans seem to really like him as well. In his short time over there. So definitely wouldn't be surprised to see him land somewhere over there. By the way, just thinking back, the Rowdies have had just an insane run of really talented goalies.
Like, yeah.
Really, really good goalies. I'm trying to name like Hunter Sparrow, CJ Cochran, Evan Lauro, obviously, John McCarthy, who played a couple big games for Inter Miami. Mm-hmm. Who else? Matt Pickens, obviously a legend. Fun fact, this is a trivia question here for anybody who ever gets this question for whatever reason. The Rowdies are one of very few teams that have a player that turned into an NFL kicker. Josh Lambeau, by the way. Josh Lambeau is one of our first goalies rostered in the modern era. Now he's a kicker in the NFL. Fun fact. I don't know. I had to look back and see our list of goalies since like 2009. It's impressive. I don't know how the front office has managed to find like consistently really, really good goalies. So kudos for them. But again, definitely, definitely hard to break into a starting role for a guy like Raikou Rosarena coming from the outside.
Certainly.
So certainly good for him to look for opportunities in other parts of the country or other parts of the world. We will certainly see. And of course, I forgot to mention Jeff Fatinella, by the way, but that kind of goes without saying. I don't really need to mention him. He goes beyond just a Rowdies goalie, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, we killed a bit of time talking about those goalies there, James. Certainly one was the only one that kind of mattered this year. That was Connor Sparrow. Phil Breno made his appearances earlier on in the year when he had to. Obviously, Raikou Rosarena didn't appear at all. So those were the goalies that were rostered for your Tampa Bay Rowdies this year. Anything else to say on them, James, before we move on to talk about the attackers?
Nope. I just wish the best for any of them that do end up leaving the club this season. Hopefully that is only Raikou, because he's the only one that's fully been announced. And, you know, if the third goalkeeper on next year's roster is maybe an academy player, I would not complain about that either.
Sure. Why not? Why not? The third goalie never, I very rarely have we ever seen the third goalie ever get playing time at all, if like right. more than one or two games. Certainly wouldn't mind that being for an academy kid who definitely deserves a chance. But okay, James, before we move on to talking about the attackers, as we've broadly labeled them, shameless plug for the RBLRsports.com shop. That's shop.rblrsports.com. Liking and subscribing is free. But if you need some new threads this year before the new season starts, you need some new threads to support the other teams in season right now, the Bucks and the Lightning, you can go ahead and support this podcast by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com, checking out all the cool designs that we have cooked up. The link is in the description of this podcast. The promo code you can use for 10% off is COYR. COYR for 10% off is a solid deal. Go over and get yourself a new pair of threads. Get yourself a cool shirt. Look at all the fun designs to my right on this screen. Plenty of cool stuff to go check out over there. So do yourself a favor. Go check out shop.rblrsports.com and use promo code COYR for 10% off your order. James. With that being said, let's get into the review of, I'm going to be honest, like the players I find the most fun all the time because they're the ones that score the goals. It's the attackers. Exactly. Let's jump into it off the bat with one of the guys that caught fire immediately this year. It was none other than number 9, JJ Williams, 25-year-old, turning 26. He played in 32 games this year. 25 of them were starts. He had 12 goals, 8 assists, 4 man of the match awards, and made 2 appearances in the Open Cup with 1 goal as well. He was a fantastic partner to another guy we'll mention in a little bit, Cal Jennings. It was a partnership that I was looking forward to so much in the offseason last year. But it's a partnership that didn't really find its footing until later on in the year, right?
Yeah.
Bit slow to get going. You could tell that, you know, Collins in the early part of the year was trying to figure out what to do with this deep pool of talent, honestly, but that just kind of wasn't connecting. I'm trying to figure out how to line up all these really good players, if to line them up at all, if to play them at all. You'll see in a, you know, just a minute, one of those really talented players didn't really stick around very long. But yeah, and JJ Williams, one of those guys that caught fire, especially really, really late on in the year. And once he kind of got that partnership going with Cal Jennings, they were truly unstoppable until they were stopped in the Birmingham playoff game. But my point stands. It was a fantastic duo, but JJ Williams truly was one of those players that kind of surprised you with how quick he was for how big a player he is, like physically. Guy that can get up and really brought, like, you know, get up into the air and win a header. Brought everything he needed, everything we needed to that striker spot. Was truly an all-around great forward. And I'm really, really happy that we know he's coming back next year.
Yeah, that's very important, obviously. JJ Williams, I think, played in a role with, when he was partnering Cal Jennings, it was in a role that was a bit different to what I expected. It was more Cal Jennings was higher up and was allowed to do more of the, I guess, stereotypical striker work, whereas JJ Williams was doing a lot more of the running around and he was trying to be the connector. He did do a good bit of, you know, back to goal, ball at your feet, trying to shield and keep possession. So I guess that's, you know, pretty stereotypical for a guy who's 6'4", but yeah, it was interesting to see how they played off of each other. And I was not sure exactly how it was going to work out because of the way that Cal Jennings plays his game. And I think the more that we got to know JJ Williams as a player, it was just interesting that he has more than what you expect of a, yeah, just what you said, Carlos, a very large body. Most of us expect a very large body to be, I mean, actually, the last one that I would think of was Steven Dos Santos, Duba. He was another large body that the Rowdies had up top. But he had a lot more to his game than just, you know, a big target man. And that was certainly part of what he did. But I remember a lot of instances where he was involved in the build-up play, you know, dropping deeper and trying to facilitate things and trying to set up Sebastian Guenzotti, sure. But yeah, he was definitely more than just the wall that Sebastian Guenzotti could pass the ball off of to get it back and then, you know, rip a shot himself. I think that JJ Williams showed even more versatility in terms of, you know, his actual ability than we would associate with Steven Dos Santos. But yeah, he and Cal Jennings, I think, can build something together. And, you know, even if they can't, let's say, both of them had very good moments when it was just one of them on the field. So I think that JJ Williams has a lot of different options for himself, and he will certainly see the field a lot in 2024, barring some type of injury. That is what I'm looking forward to, obviously, as an attacker, him hopefully catching fire again and, you know, doing so in a way that is sustainable over the course of the season and into the playoffs. But yeah, I'm really excited that there is a player that maybe, you know, we haven't even seen the best of at this point. That's kind of what this season suggested to me. Yeah. We could see him play with Cal Jennings as a partner. We could see him play on his own up top. We could see him play possibly, I don't know, some other role if we're, you know, switching up formations entirely. So, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see exactly what works out between him and our new manager, Robbie Nielsen. But good for JJ Williams in 2023, and looking forward to the new one.
Yeah, that's a great point, by the way, that we might not even have seen the best of him, because, again, he didn't really catch fire until later on in the year.
Yeah.
Almost when we started obsessing over him. Again, a prime example of we haven't seen the best of him was Leo Fernandez, who was a huge role. Like, he played a huge role on this team already just a few years ago. Neil Collins decided, why not play him in the more like attacking mid role, push him up the field in the more central role, kind of like let him run around a bit freer than in his past roles. And all of a sudden he was MVP, right? So, who knows? I mean, maybe there's a slightly different future in store for positioning or whatever, but I don't know. Even if there's not, JJ Williams has so much left to show us, because he scored 12 goals while only getting hot for like a small portion of the year. So knowing that duo is coming back is so great, because we know that they can continue to build on that, and it's just going to be a blast for next year if they can keep that going. We're not going to have the problem of trying to like build chemistry going into this season, because we did that last offseason and this season.
Exactly.
So we are in a great spot. One player who's not coming back, though, James, is a guy named Felix Schroeder, a player who came in kind of out of nowhere from last offseason, if you recall. Ended up coming to us from a country that's slipping my mind.
Norway.
I want to say, was that Norway, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say a Scandinavian country, but I'm glad you specified it more. He came to us from, I want to say he just recently helped promote a second division team from Norway to the first division team, or maybe that's Forest. I'm tripping. You know what? Felix Schroeder came to us from a team in Norway. Okay. That's all that matters. It's kind of a random connection. I don't really know how that connection was made, but he looked like an incredibly talented striker, and unfortunately just couldn't find his footing with us.
Yeah.
Played in 12 games, did have 3 starts, scored one really important goal, by the way, against Miami early on in the year to help us get the win there, kind of get us back on track after a slow start. So played an important role in at least one game, did get that man of the match award, and then left midseason to Jerv. Don't know anything about Jerv, but that's where he is. At least that's where he went. Don't know if he's still there. Fully don't know. But yeah, it was one of those guys that I thought could have a huge role, but they also had so many like attacking guys on the team this year that I was kind of just, and I guess nobody really did know who would have that starting role. And, you know, Felix Schroeder got a few starts. Neil Collins was testing out a bunch of different formations. We could have certainly seen him stick around had he got hot in those 12 games he appeared in. But unfortunately, it just didn't work out for him here. Not much else to say. Appeared in 3 starts and got a goal in one of them. So played his role in at least one big game. Not much else to say there. Hope he's doing well in Jerv. Thanks for your short time with us.
Yeah, this reminds me of what was the name of the striker last year who came in on loan for like a couple of games? He scored the winner in one, and then he went back to his MLS club that he was loaned from, and he just retired. I don't remember. I don't even remember the name now.
It's Langsdorf. It was something like that.
Foster Langsdorf. That's it.
Yeah. Langsdorf. So, he went to Minnesota United. Yeah.
I guess Felix Schroeder was the 2023 Foster Langsdorf, let's say. And we'll give him the same passing grade for getting a very important goal, and then we'll move on.
Holy crap, man. We've had a few of those really random players, haven't we?
Like, I guess so.
You know what I kind of wish came back was the random rowdies account that was around for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Foster Langsdorf would be a great shout for the random rowdies account. That is a random. Anyway, he's not on the team. He was on the team last year. Felix Schroeder, comparable, I guess we could say. But he was more of a player that I guess we could have. There was a future for him with the team if he kind of got hot there. I don't know what the hell is going on with Foster Langsdorf. I really don't know. There was some story there, and I forgot what it was, but I don't know. I guess he got tired of the game and scored a goal, like came here for three games, scored the game winner in one of them, and just dipped. He said, I'm done with soccer. He finished on a high. Good for him. I'm happy for him.
There you go.
But yeah, Felix Schroeder, thank you for your time with us. And I don't know what else to say. Hopefully you're doing well. Certainly wasn't the Linsanity run like Spalding had, but definitely helped us win in one big game. So good for him.
Yeah.
Cool. Moving on from number 10, Felix Schroeder, to number 11, Leo Fernandez, James, a player we know pretty well, a player I mentioned earlier. He's 31, turning 32. He only appeared in three games this season because, as we know, he picked up a pretty big injury before the year started. It was an Achilles tear before the season even started. And it was it Montverde Academy that they were playing? It was like some random team like that.
That's whoever it was. Ball. It's probably that.
Whoever it was, I hate you and you suck. I mean, what are we doing here? How did we tear Leo Fernandez's Achilles before the season even started? I was so sad to hear that news, right? Nonetheless, he appeared in three games, managed to finally make some minutes towards the end of the year, even appeared in that big Louisville game at the end of the year, but unfortunately didn't get anything on the stats sheet. We gave him man of the match in the final game because good for him, he played. That's a tough injury to come back from, like an Achilles tear right before the season starts. The fact that he came back at all is really, really impressive, and I think is a testament to his bounce-back ability and his durability as a player to be able to do that. Like, when you get in an injury like that, you're done for the year. No questions asked. Like, that's how it works. Leo Fernandez tore his Achilles in March, let's say, and was able to come back in
October.
What, 7 months? That's really, really impressive, right? So good for him. But the fact that he was able to recover so quickly and now he has a full offseason to kind of build on that is really, really exciting. And I think he could, like, again, I'm not expecting him to be back to MVP level form, especially after a big injury like that coming off of that. So, but having a full offseason right now to recover after being able to like get a few games in still is really, really good for him. And I'm really glad he was able to do that. And it's really impressive that he was able to come back from an Achilles tear in just 7 months. Really happy for him. I'm happy to see what he can do next year.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to sum it up pretty much. Yep. You know, it's going to be interesting to see exactly what, 2024 can be for him. What levels can he reach? As you said, we don't know. I'm always hopeful because he's shown incredible quality as a player in multiple different positions, as we've already noted. Absolutely. So, maybe this is a season where he takes a step back literally on the field and he goes to left wing back where he was playing before his MVP season. Maybe he just continues trying to, break into that midfield role where Charlie Dennis stepped up over the course of the season. I don't know, but it's going to be very interesting also to see how Robbie Nielsen obviously feels all of these players fit together because as we've already stated for multiple of them, versatility is a virtue at this level just because you have to have kind of smaller rosters to maintain that top level talent, as we've already stated again. So I think that Leo Fernandez has all sorts of different places where he could pop up on the field. And I'm just excited to see exactly what 2024 will mean after such a devastating year for him. And, he is another absolute club legend. Whenever his time at the Rowdies ultimately comes due, I know that we are going to be singing his praises for days, but I'm very excited to see that the chapter or the book, I should say, the next chapter is still coming. The book is not closed.
Yeah, absolutely. He deserves a title so bad. I mean, All these guys do, but man, we deserve a title, James. What are we doing here? Come on. Moving from Leo Fernandez to the guy who had to step in and fill Leo Fernandez's big shoes this year was Charlie Dennis, number 14. He's 28 years old, made 35 appearances this year. 29 of those were starts. He had 11 goals from the attacking mid kind of role, 3 assists, 8 man of the match awards. We gave out so many man of the match awards to Charlie Dennis. It was absurd. He had 2 Open Cup appearances and was also named the USL 2023 Team of the Year for a reason. A true star this year in every sense of the word. We go back to the beginning of this past season and we say Leo Fernandez is hurt. What the hell are we going to do now? Well, Charlie, we have Charlie Dennis. He's pretty good, right? Like, hopefully, we're not going to expect like him to be Leo Fernandez, but he'll be all right. And hopefully we can make something happen there in the midfield. But oh my God, like we took that and he took any expectation of being able to fill Leo Fernandez's shoes and shattered that, right? Like he went through the roof there and obviously wasn't, MVP, I guess, but he was about as close as you can get without being MVP. You know what I mean? He had an incredible
and from his role too.
Yeah. And it was really, really impressive stuff and just really filled in that middle area of the field, that kind of all around player that was able to create basically everything in the attack and create, just tons of opportunities through him, scores a bunch of penalties, scores when he has to, scores big goals. Big time player that shows up in big moments. That was him. That was Charlie Dennis. Consistent, just incredible, incredible season. I think if we're talking about, players that had the best season for us, he's certainly in contention. And I would say he's probably my favorite in terms of my favorite for, player of the year award for the Rowdies. I think he was just incredible this year all around. Goals, assists, everything. So, truly an incredible season for him. And I don't know what we would have done without him. if he wasn't here when Leo Fernandez goes down, who plays in that role? I don't really know. Like Cal Jennings can kind of slot back there, but doesn't really work. It's not really his position. Maybe Jake LaCava, but again, not really his area. But who knows? In terms of what he was able to bring to the team, Charlie Dennis was everything for us this year. So truly an all-around star and was incredibly, incredibly happy with how he played this year. And frankly, really, really surprised by how well he was able to play. I kind of viewed him coming into this year, the way he was advertised to me, he was this sort of winger who cuts in a lot, dribble well. And all of a sudden, we're playing him kind of as an attacking mid in the central part of the field. And God, could he kill it in the central area, right? And as a center mid, as a center attacking mid, whatever you want to call it. He basically filled in that role that Leo Fernandez would have played, and he did it really well. So that being said, next year, Leo Fernandez and Charlie Dennis coming back. Again, you talked about what Leo Fernandez's role is going to be. It's going to be really hard to say, Charlie Dennis, you're going to the bench, right? That's going to be really hard to do. So what do we do there? Who knows? That's for another episode, I think, to break it down a bit more about what next year looks like. But I think there's going to be great, great competition, whether it's for that same spot. Maybe you find a way to slot them in there together. Golly, like that'd be insane. Charlie Dennis and Leo Fernandez playing in a sort of like central mid, duo attacking role there with JJ Williams or Cal Jennings up top. Like there's incredible opportunities. And I'm sure Robbie Nielsen is a class coach and we'll be able to figure that out. So Charlie Dennis, overall, I'm rambling. Incredible season for him and really excited to see what he can do and what he can bring out of Leo Fernandez next year.
Yeah, I think that I actually didn't remember how he was brought in as, like you said, a supposed winger. And he was tried as a winger over a couple of different games this season. It did not really work out, in my opinion, him playing on the wing. But luckily, in his case, he could step into the number 10 role and he could absolutely kill it there. He had such a great season when he was playing as that number 10. Now, I don't know how frequently Robbie Nielsen has played with a number 10. I don't know if that's something that's in his plans. I don't know if there's a way to necessarily fit him and Leo into a dual number 10 role. I think that if Leo Fernandez is going to have a more attacking role this year, it will probably be something where he's allowed to go out to the wings a bit more. And Charlie Dennis will be more central as like a true number 10. I don't know, obviously, but Yeah, I think that actually that would be something that we could possibly ask Robbie Nielsen if we get a chance to talk to him. But I think that Charlie Dennis played more than admirably this season. His 2023 team of the year selection was more than deserved. And yeah, if this team had done a little bit better over the course of the year in terms of getting results at the beginning of the year and then, you know, making it farther in the playoffs, I think that he certainly would have had a bigger shout for MVP as well. He was very, very good in, you know, every aspect that we saw him play. So I am just very happy that it's going to be, you know, it's that old truism for coaches that having, you know, competition between two very good players is a good problem to have. And that is what is going to be the case for the number 10 between Leo and Charlie. And we'll see who wins out, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, moving on to a player I just mentioned as well. Number 16, Jake LaCava, who came in to the Rowdies as a former Rowdy who came in on loan. So, yeah, he came back on loan. We kind of borrowed him from Inter Miami, then left us, and then it was kind of a weird year for him. He's 22 years old, turning 23, played in 22 games, including 15 starts, had 3 goals, 2 assists, and 2 Man of the Match awards from us. I think just quick reactions and broadly speaking, the production wasn't as exciting as we had hoped for. At least he kind of set a pretty high bar for himself after last year.
Yeah.
So maybe partially on him for that. But of course, those expectations are going to be there after having such a great year last year. And unfortunately, I think he was able to contribute for sure. But I don't think he was ever close to matching up to that expectation that he set for himself after last season, where he had an incredible kind of 1-2 combo with Leo Fernandez. Last season. Contributed where he had to. I mean, you can't complain too much. I think he was kind of a player that came in out of necessity as well. And we were really, really short in depth. So he was able to come in and immediately kind of understand the system. He played for the Rowdies, obviously, just the season prior and knew what the club was about, kind of the system Neil Collins was running with, almost certainly a big player to bring in at that moment in time. But again, notched 3 goals, 2 assists, was able to contribute, just not at the same level as last year.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult to, I don't know. It's difficult because with Jake LaCava in 2023, like you said, we definitely all wanted him to do better than I think we got out of him. But it was just, I don't know, it was a very weird season for him. There were a lot of opportunities that he had to, you know, turn it on. I think that where we have seen Jake LaCava thrive, especially for our club, is when he, and against our club, I should say, now that I think about it, is when he has some time and space to pick up a head of steam with the ball at his feet, running at a defender or two or three, let's say. And I remember instances from this past season where he did have the time and the space to build up that head of speed. And then it just fizzled. And, you know, it was a chance that was lost. And I was reading something today about, you know, dribbling and how hard it is and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, it's very difficult, but you're not going to get, more than likely, you're not going to get a majority of dribbles completed that you attempt. That's just the nature of the skill. Jeremy Doku is like this revelation with dribbling, and he's getting, you know, his average is 6 in a game, which is incredible, I should say. That's a nuts amount for a player. The player that's best after him in over the course of the season is averaging 3 a game. So dribbling is extremely difficult to pull off, and most of the time you're not going to. But the problem with Jake LaCava's dribbling was that when he did attempt it and it failed, I frequently remember us losing the ball. And, you know, it's not just that, you know, he went at somebody and we lose it and it's in, you know, their half or whatever. That's, you know, hopefully where we lose it. But every time that we lost it, I remember there were, you know, big opportunities afterwards even. So, or every time that I remember, that wasn't literally every time that he lost the ball naturally, but yeah, it was just a very difficult year. And I hope that he can kind of turn it around. He didn't seem like he was fully confident in himself this year. And I don't know what could, you know, lead to that, possibly just, you know, a different situation. I know that he was at Inter Miami, and Inter Miami probably didn't give him the time of day because they knew what they were trying to do over the course of their offseason, which was ultimately bring in the best player in the history of the game and fill out a team around him. So if you don't fit into those plans, then you kind of get shown the door pretty early. That's probably difficult to deal with. And maybe that's something that impacted his head. Unfortunately, this is all just speculation and we just don't know. But I know that there's a talented player in there, and I hope that we get to see him again in the future, whether that's for us or another team. I don't know because, yeah, like you said, he's not with Miami now. So we're just going to have to see what his next situation is, where he pops up next.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a really, really good player. Like, certainly not discounting any of that talent that we know he has and we saw the year prior.
Right.
When he was going toe-to-toe with the league MVP, Leo Fernandez. So, yeah, really, really good player. Just couldn't really find his rhythm with us this year. And again, I think this is pure speculation again, but I think bouncing around, not really knowing what your future is going to be, will do that for you.
It's not the best situation, certainly. We know that.
and again, Inter Miami just is certainly, I don't know, I'm saying this as an outsider. I don't have any inside information or anything. Inter Miami just doesn't seem like the place you want to be as a young player that needs developing, right? They're bringing in all these like stars and whatnot, former stars, guys that are a little older that are certainly going to play, like your, you know, Luis Suarez is your Messi's, your who else do they have? You know, the former Barca guys, you know what I'm talking about. Guys that will certainly start over you, even if you're a really, really talented young player that needs just a bit of game time to help develop.
You're not making the money that they are. So,
So, unfortunately for Jake LaCava, I think that was a situation that was going to manifest itself with Inter Miami. I think he just needs a change of scenery that would provide some level and some semblance of consistency. Yeah, we'll see how that works. Good for him. And I hope he finds a better setting somewhere soon. Number 26, moving on to our last three attackers here, our last three players to review. Our number 26 was Cal Jennings, who was also 26, by the way, turning 27 in May. He played in 31 games, had 24 starts, scored 19 goals, and had 3 assists. He earned 7 Man of the Match awards and earned a USL 2023 Team of the Year selection with Charlie Dennis. Similar to JJ Williams, and kind of, I think, by nature of their kind of duo partnership, they both had a slow start, but Cal Jennings certainly was the highlight of that duo in terms of goals scored. 19 goals in the season is insane by itself. Doing that after having such a slow start and really only playing like 3/4 of the season is even more impressive. Really, really cool stuff from him. It's incredible how many goals he was able to score in such a short amount of time as a, you know, regular starter. Didn't play the whole year really, and wasn't able to get consistency the whole season, and then kind of got to find his footing in the latter portion of the year and truly caught fire in a way that was just so impressive, James. It was awesome to watch. He is one of the guys again that I'm really happy to see coming back next year, because that duo with JJ Williams is only going to continue to produce, especially after not having to build on that chemistry. Or especially after not having to build that chemistry. Now they can just build on that chemistry from a full season together. So excited.
Yeah, I don't know how much more I have to add about Cal Jennings, because honestly, he, like, we've run out of superlatives for him at this point. You know, I think that we were 7 Man of the Match, honestly, is kind of surprising just based on, like you said, 19 goals. 19 goals is crazy. That is a crazy amount of goals. It doesn't matter what level you're playing at. I know that Cal Jennings has had issues translating this at MLS level, because he was drafted obviously into MLS, and they sent him out on loan, and then I think they gave him another shot, but then obviously he has ended up now back in the USL Championship. But I'm not entirely sure if it's just because he hasn't been given a chance or if he legitimately could not make it at that level. I can't say because everywhere that I've seen him play, which is also at college when he was in UCF, he has just scored goals absolutely like in insane amounts. I think that I wrote this before when we signed Cal Jennings, so I don't remember if I'm saying I don't remember. I he might have broken the UCF scoring record. I would have to go and check my own notes there. I forget. But the point is, this guy scores goals everywhere, and it might take him a little bit to get going. Obviously, it did with us, but eventually you will get to a point where you're running out of superlatives for Cal Jennings. And I'm very excited again, like you said, for 2024, I'm very excited for, you know, him hopefully building on that partnership with JJ Williams. And other than that, I really don't have much to say. He is a great guy. We talked to him and JJ actually a lot after, you know, games in the press conference. So I am hopeful that, you know, we get more of that with both of them over this upcoming season.
Yeah, he's one of the players that I think you see. It's kind of like a prime example of what happens with the college to MLS pipeline. Is that like pipeline's a strong word for it, because so many of these really, really talented players in college will just struggle to kind of get the attention they need, playing time they need to truly develop into, you know, a really, really quality player. I think that's probably a similar situation with Cal Jennings, semifinalist for the Mac Herman Trophy in the 2019 season, by the way. The Mac Herman Trophy is the best soccer player in the country at the college level. So just incredibly like known and understood to be a really, really good player, but just couldn't find his footing with the MLS squad that drafted him, which was FC Dallas. Got another chance with LAFC, who quickly loaned him out to Las Vegas, who I think they're still affiliated in some way, shape, or form, or at least they were. Lit it up in Las Vegas, and that's where the Rowdies came in and said, we need you to come play for us. And I'm glad he found a spot to land with the Rowdies, because obviously he's scoring goals for my team. But importantly for him, he's getting regular, like more than regular, he's getting crucial minutes as a regular starter, right? And scoring plenty of goals for us in the process. Yeah. He's going to continue to develop at an incredibly rapid pace, I would imagine. And frankly, I don't see him sticking around very long, because I'm sure there's a team out there that will come and swoop him away from us in a very short amount of time. So,
yep.
No. All right, James, coming up on the last two here. One of these forwards is a little bit actually, they're both on the older side, let's say. Number 30, Ariel Martinez, is 37 years old, turning 38 in May. He played in 22 games. Four of those were starts, which was every time surprising to me, frankly. As a 37-year-old striker, I'm really, really surprised that he got any starts at all. Did score two goals, including one really, really crucial one against Hartford, if you remember that last-minute goal against them when we were struggling at home to put them away. Ariel Martinez came in with a beautiful, calm, cool, and collected finish, earned three Man of the Match awards from us, and had overall a pretty good season for a 37-year-old striker that was coming off the bench most of the time. It was, yeah, I can't complain too much about him. Good for him.
Yeah, no, I really liked Ariel Martinez when he got out there. He is the type of player that I like. He's just very technical. He kind of, you know, slows the game down and kind of sees it well. I remember one of his three Man of the Match awards. I'm pretty sure he got one and Leo Fernandez got one in the last game against Birmingham, because they both came off the bench. And rather than being terrible for 90 minutes, they at least tried for, you know, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it was that they had. But yeah, I do remember he obviously also contributed more in other ways, including, like you said, that goal against Hartford, which we shouldn't have been in the situation where we needed it, but we did. And he came on and he scored it. So yep. Appreciate that. I don't believe that he will be with the club next season, which is kind of unfortunate for him, but I also understand, you know, he's getting to a point where you have to consider how much money he might be making or not, and whether or not you want to put that into the contract of someone else that is going to be able to offer you a little bit more, literally in terms of playing time, not, you know, not in terms of skill or anything like that. But he does probably have a lot to offer if someone out there is looking for, you know, a very smart, savvy competitor, someone who knows how to do it at this level, as you say. So I'm, you know, appreciative of Ariel Martinez for everything that he did in this past season. But
yeah,
good luck to him in the future, whether that or not that continues playing. I know that he will more than likely be involved in the game at some level. Yeah. So I just kind of wish that he was able to continue to represent Cuba. He's from Cuba, and I believe he was one of the players who defected in some prior tournament that they played. I might be wrong about that, so I apologize if I am, but no, I think that he was, I think that he was one of those guys. So it's unfortunate that he was not able to translate that over to the Cuban national team, because I'm sure they could have used a player like him on more than one occasion.
Absolutely. Great, great player. Really excited for whatever he holds in the future for him. He's still got a lot to offer. He's 37 years old, but was playing like a pretty young spirit, honestly.
Yeah, he was.
Dribbled really well, can run like hell, especially for his age in soccer. It's pretty interesting, pretty unique. Great story from him. And yeah, he was one of the players that defected along with three other players back in the 2015 Gold Cup.
There we go.
After scoring, like, I think he scored four goals the last match he played for Cuba.
Wow.
It was something like that. It was like three or four goals in his last game for Cuba. Really, really interesting. So, yeah. Anyway, good for him. Hopefully there's a future for him and another team if he wants to continue playing. By the way, the Paulo Guerrero, the Liga striker, is 39 years old. So there's certainly precedent. There's still players out there even older than him playing at a really, really high level. So I'm sure he can find a club that's looking for good minutes from him. Last but not least is a player that doesn't really need much of an introduction. It was number 77, Lucky Mkosana, 36 years old, around the same age as Ariel Martinez, who played in 12 games, didn't start in any of them, but certainly was a good, you know, off the bench super sub. We know him as a super sub for, you know, very obvious reasons. If you recall that Louisville game just a couple seasons ago, was that last season?
2021.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Two seasons ago now. And yeah, played in 12 games, didn't score or assist in league play, but was able to get one goal and one assist in the Open Cup, including one man of the match award against the powerful Nona FC. Yeah, I mean, Lucky Mkosana is always brings a certain spark off the bench that is always needed when things get a little slow, but unfortunately did not really get on the score sheet, or did not get in the score sheet in league play. Again, a guy that we would love to keep around in some way, shape, or form, but not really surprising if he doesn't come back as a player. So produced incredible and magical moments, incredible super sub, and incredible goals in his time as a rowdy from, you know, in early on in the 2010s and obviously now in just the past couple of years. So certainly a player that everybody will remember fondly, to put it lightly. But in terms of what he was able to do this year, it was light on production. But again, I don't think we're really knocking him for that either.
Yeah,
We weren't necessarily expecting much from him on the field, but I'm sure was a great leader in the locker room, great person to have on the team, and a legend that fans like to keep around, just at least for sentimental value, if nothing else.
Yeah, I think that the leader in the locker room part of it is very important. I think that he was probably one of the best ones out there, considering how long he's been at this club, how much he's done with this club, how frequently he's been able to conjure these ridiculous moments out of nothing for this club. You know, Lucky Mkosana is 36. I think, just as you said, we all knew that there was a time coming when, unfortunately, he would not be able to continue with the Rowdies as a player because he's not able to contribute as much as we want on the field. And I guess that that time does appear to be now. But that should not impact, you know, this season should not impact, obviously, how Rowdies fans feel about him. And I don't think that any single person, even if they, you know, started supporting the Rowdies in July, let's say, is going to think of Lucky in that way. But it's just unfortunate that I don't even care about how his season went, quote unquote. It's really just unfortunate that this is the last that we're going to see of Lucky as a player here. And, you know, if that means that he's going to retire again, I think that just like Ariel Martinez, this is a guy who probably has more to give. I don't know if he wants to or not, just like Ariel Martinez. So if this is when he decides to retire, this is another player that I'm absolutely certain will have more to give back to the game. You know, he's from Zimbabwe originally, and he went to Dartmouth. I think that in all of this time, we have seen an incredible person emerge, an incredibly giving person. He does so much charity work. I think that if he ends up even, you know, as a coach, it's going to be something where he can coach and give back at the same time. So I don't know, you know, how much he's going to be able to, you know, stick around the Tampa Bay area. Hopefully he does. But yeah, he's got a lot of stuff on his plate. He's got, you know, even a children's book released this past year. We interviewed him and he brought that up. And, you know, that's just so cool. I think, you know, Carlos, we should probably do an episode this offseason about just Lucky Mkhwesana and Seb Dalgard, considering how long they've been at the club. But, you know, for now, based on this past season, we will just skip past that and talk about him as a player overall and say, I wish Lucky all the best. Obviously he deserves all the best, whatever that is. And, you know, build a statue, let's say.
Hey, I don't really know if we, like, as an organization, as a club, own that land, or if I don't really know what, like, the land situation is, but we own it. I don't see why not. Right. Like, why not just erect a statue there? Cool, James. Just like that, we've recapped every single player that made an appearance for the Rowdies this year, and even those that didn't make an appearance for the Rowdies, but were still on the roster. Yeah, we went through every single player in this episode and prior episode when we went over the defenders and the midfielders. I think we went in depth enough on every single player. Wishing everybody the best, whether they're coming back or not. Obviously, everybody contributed in some way, shape, or form to this club, and we were certainly happy to have them with us this year. And I think there's no better player to end on or end with than Lucky Mkhwesana, by the way. So
agreed.
That being said, moving on to the extra time segment in the wider world of soccer, James, I will just say that the U17 World Cup has been fantastic entertainment. If you haven't been watching, you should, but it's also like 3 a.m. most games because it's over there in Indonesia. So I'm not really faulting you if you're not watching. The final is coming up on December 2nd, I believe, between France and Germany. France played a thriller against Mali, and Germany played an equally thrilling match against Argentina, which they won in penalties.
Yeah, I thought Mali were a little hard done by in that one, I will say.
Sure. And Mali was a really, really good team, by the way. I fully underestimated them. Ecuador U17s played them in the preseason and lost like 4-0. And I was thinking to myself, good Lord, like this team is not going to go very far. Like, you know, we're losing to Mali. Like, what does that say about us? But I think it says more about Mali than anything else. It was an incredible team that made a really, really great run and could have certainly won it all with a bit more luck on their side. Good for them. Good for the U17 World Cup. I love watching, the young talents like get their moment in the spotlight, and, you know, plenty of great players coming up the ranks through there. Yeah,
absolutely.
Anything else to cover here, James? I will just mention that the RBLR Deportes show is live, and so is our new Tampa Bay Sun show. Obviously, Tampa Bay Sun is the new USL Super League team coming to the Tampa Bay area, playing their home games, at least temporarily, on the campus of Blake High School over there in downtown, in a really, really nice setting that they're going to set up over there for a temporary stadium on the water. It's going to be really pretty, and you should totally check it out. Go support them as well. It is another Tampa Bay team coming to the area. It's more soccer coming to the area, and it's really, really exciting. They announced their logo and their colors just recently, actually. So there's stuff to talk about over there, and really, really, really beautiful branding, if I do say so myself. And again, the RBLR Deportes show, pretty self-explanatory. Covering your Tampa Bay sports teams in Spanish, again, by local fans, for local fans as well. In USL news as well, James, by the way, Mark Lowry is out as the head coach of Indy 11. Again, a guy that had a lot of talent over there, and Mark Lowry is a really good coach, so I'm frankly surprised it just didn't really gel together for them this year. They played us to open the season, if you recall, and we tied 1-1. an incredible, incredible attacking front, including Sebastian Guenzadi and Solomon Asante. Right? He plays over there. I'm not mm-hmm. mixing up another player. And just couldn't really find their footing, unfortunately. And Sebastian Guenzadi had a pretty good season, but couldn't create the magic that he was able to create with the Rowdies, even with a really great player like Solomon Asante at his side. Also, Danny Diccio, am I pronouncing that right, will be the new Detroit City head coach. That's the coaching carousel news already coming out of the USL. Obviously, the Rowdies hired Robbie Nielsen. If that was news to you, I don't know how you made it this far in the podcast. Just to mention that as well, the coaching carousel has certainly been underway for more than a few weeks. I'm certainly curious to see what is in store for USL managers as the offseason rolls on.
Yeah, Mark Lowry out. That is interesting. He's definitely had a lot of success elsewhere. I don't think it worked for him at Indy 11 for one reason or another. I thought that the roster was actually better than they ultimately got there. Now, Danny Diccio at Detroit City is interesting for other reasons. Danny Diccio, I remember from his spell at Toronto, and I think that he's only ever been at Toronto in North America. So I guess it's across, you know, whatever river that is or something. And it's close by is the point. So, you know, it won't be too big of a move for him. But, oh, no, wait, it's a little bit farther. I'm sorry. I'm mixing up Windsor, Ontario, and Toronto in Canada. Either way, Danny Diccio, it's going to be a relatively similar locale for him. And I'm interested to see what he's like as an actual head coach, because I think he's only coached at the youth level, actually, for Toronto, other than, you know, interim stuff. So, yeah, all sorts of interesting stuff. And I guess that we will, you know, Carlos, we're going to have a lot of offseason to get into not only a coaching carousel, but all of the other different moves. Hopefully there are some, you know, big names that come to the USL Championship this offseason. Hopefully maybe one or two of those comes down to the Tampa Bay region. We shall see. But we will get that to you as soon as it is announced. Unfortunately, though, we do not have too much for the Rowdies this season.
Big names like Marlon Tabora. Bring Marlon Tabora to the Tampa Bay Rowdies, man. Look, all I'm saying
I'm
is
ready we, need for
depth. We need depth at the wing. Marlon Tabora was the Big East midfielder of the year. Big East is an incredible soccer conference in college soccer.
What more
I know someone at the Rowdies front office is listening to this. So, hey, pass it along. I'm pushing that agenda. I'm pushing the Georgetown soccer agenda as a whole. Aiden Rocha, bring him home. Chris Hagar, bring him home. Dante Pulvara is playing for Aberdeen and scoring goals in the Conference League, but I don't care. Bring him to the Rowdies as well. We're just going to make Georgetown a feeder program for the Rowdies. It's my dream.
I'm good with that. But in the meantime, thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We appreciate when you do that, obviously. Please follow RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere that you are. We are too at RBLR Sports. I am mostly on Twitter at RBLR James K. What about you, Carlos?
At Carlos TPA10. Been tweeting a lot about Liga de Quito. Again, they just made the final in Ecuador, going for the really, really rare double in Ecuadorian soccer. Winning a continental title and a national title in the same year would be awesome for them. Tweeting about college basketball, Georgetown's back. USF football made a college a bowl game for the first time in 5 years. That's exciting if you're a local USF football fan. Tweeting all about Tampa Bay sports. Come check it out. Ask us questions. Ask RBLR. Hashtag Ask RBLR. And give us ideas for off-season content. James and I are, you know, always scrapping for content in the off-season. Plenty of stuff to talk about, but it's going to be a little while until we get all that new stuff coming later on in the off-season. So, yeah, time to, you know, make up some content to talk about, James.
Yes, and in the meantime, you can like and subscribe to our podcast so you get all of that when it comes out. You can get the full experience if you'd like on YouTube, but if you just want to hear our voices, you can do that on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts, again, wherever you are. So for another week in the books and the final review of 2023, I'm on you, Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.